This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett, I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I'm a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the super fan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects. Hello, you anime-loving motherfuckers. Welcome back to yet another episode of...
The Anime Noise!
Yeah, it's noisy as fuck up in here. We don't have the kids tonight, so we get to talk loud into our microphones and blast some fucking tunes for you. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Sweet.
The hamster might bother us, though.
The hamster? You think so? I forgot we had a hamster, honestly.
That loud motherfucker.
I forgot we had one for a while.
Well, reminder.
He's just chilling in Mabry's room.
I was like, Mabry, take some responsibility. Take care of a hamster and make your own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
She's doing it. She's growing up.
She's growing up.
Growing up. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
I mean, kind of. We usually do that anyways. But yeah, no, that's not what we're actually here to talk about. Today, we're here to actually talk about Fire Force Season 2, bitches.
Yeah, Season 2. I love Fire Force, guys. I don't know if you guys... I hear a lot of complaints because it's got too much fucking fan service or whatever.
I don't give a fuck.
And we're, grow
that's
up.
That's a big fucking emphasis on fuck.
Grow because, up.
You know...
Fan service is awesome.
And
one,
also,
plus, it can be funny.
And also, it's anime. I find that you're either watching fan service or you're crying your eyes out. So I would rather look at titties...
Or you're
ass.
Getting a nerd boner from how much fucking badassery and all that action is happening.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't see what the problem is, but, you know, that's just me. Probably because I'm also bi and I don't mind looking at sexy women or men.
I think
also
it's the
not,
teenagers. I think it's just the teenagers that don't like the fan service.
Because
when you grow up, you're like, okay, cool. This is... One, it's awesome. Two, it's just, it can be really funny. And in Fire Force's case, it really is funny. Episode 1 of Season 2 was just like fan service heaven. I mean, they started with the firefight calendar, you know? They did the sexy nude calendar.
Yeah, they're all about it. So, I mean,
Power
like,
Cobra.
You know, it's God, that was awful. But, you know, Fire Force does it at least a little tactfully. You know, there's, you know, Iris or Hibana has her, like, you know, her titties out a lot. And Tamaki's clothes fall off literally all the time. And in Season 2, specifically, it went far.
It was awesome.
It was great. It was funny. But it was funny.
It was funny. And then, like, she fights that one dude. Spoiler alert. She fights that one guy.
Our whole show is a spoiler alert.
And, like, her clothes keep falling off on accident.
Yeah.
The Lucky Lesher.
Yep.
And then he, like, can't fight her because he's too embarrassed. So he runs away. And then he goes and studies, like, porn.
Yep.
Just so he can get used to it. And he's like, you can't beat me this time. Wrong. She can.
So, yeah. So Fire Force Season 2, I was all about rewatching it. Because I love watching Fire Force. In fact, we haven't finished rewatching it, and I want to still finish watching it because now I want to be reminded of the awesomeness that is the end of Season 2.
Plus, it's got like, you know, it's kind of like it's got a soft spot in my heart because it's related to our first ever episode of the podcast because it was written by the same author that wrote Soul Eater.
Indeed. Indeed. So it is. It's a soft spot in our heart. And, you know, we keep our Soul Eater patch that we made for Garrett's
Halloween costume. My Halloween costume.
Chilling on our dream board, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, our goal whiteboard.
Yeah. Also, so William, our friend on Instagram, he just commented on my story and said that he just started Fire Force.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Will, you're going to love it,
dude. You're in for a treat, homie.
You're going to love it.
You're in for a treat.
I don't know if that's one that you want to watch with your kids yet, though. I mean, maybe. It's not that bad.
I think his kids are older, from what I understand.
I forget the age of your kids. I wouldn't feel weird about it watching. I mean, like, middle school age would be fine. It's not like, you know, the fan service isn't over the top.
I think his son is the one that watches anime with him, and I'm pretty sure he's in middle school.
Yeah, I think that would be okay. I mean, maybe wait till high school.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, Will. You can just message me later. Okay, well, let's dive into it, shall we?
Let's dive into it. Go ahead, Emily.
Cool. So this particular season aired July 2020 to December 2020. Oh, the pandemic.
Yes.
24 episodes, same old duration. In this particular season, we get to dive more into the fight to get show back in the season, facing a lot more of the evangelist schemes and working with all hands on deck to prevent the next great cataclysm.
We also get a lot, just a lot more into the story.
Yeah.
And character development and like where it's going. Especially, we get a lot of character development from Joker.
Yeah.
Who's one of my favorite characters.
Yes.
For sure.
You know, I think one of my favorite characters, and I don't know if it's because it's a sexual attraction and because he's a badass, or if it's just like his personality that like I'm just like, man, I want more from you, is Benimaru.
Yeah, Benimaru is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, we got the sweet sound effect and like the ultra badassery. We still get some Benimaru.
Oh yeah, with the Joker. In that whole scene?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you forget about that? You haven't gotten to that in the rewatch.
Yeah, we didn't get to finish the rewatch before.
We didn't even get to the second OP and ending.
Yeah, we did a bad job rewatching it, but we watched it pretty recently. I remember everything.
We fell asleep a lot.
Yeah.
We're exhausted.
This new job, having me go to the office, is just a pain in the... It's a real pain in the dick. I hate it. I hate going to the office. Like, so two times already... I ride a motorcycle to work, and two times, my motorcycle doesn't have a gas gauge, and two times, I'm going fucking 85, and all of a sudden, my bike just goes, it's starting to suck down the gas, and that's how I know that I'm about to have an empty tank. Fortunately, I just reach down and switch it to reserve, and it just, you know, sucks the gas from the hose lower in the gas tank. It allows me to get, you know, an extra 15 miles out of it.
Little did you know that you were going to get some motorcycle lessons today.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no, it's a real pain. I had to fill up. I get great gas mileage on that bike, but I've had to fill up like 2 to 3 times a week now, and I only use premium. It's getting pricey.
It's getting pricey. I mean, that's a long drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Garrett.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, at least I get to, like, when I'm bored, I can fly through my job. Hopefully my boss isn't listening to this. I know that they know that I have an anime podcast, but I don't think they like anime enough to listen to it. I know one person listens to it at work, and they are a boss, but they're not my boss. So they don't give a shit if I'm watching anime at work, and it's cool. We get to talk about it. All right, let's get back to it.
All right, Garrett, what changed about season?
The only thing that changed from season one was the director. And you don't really notice. They did a good job.
They did a really good job.
All right. In season two, Tatsuma Minamikawa, who actually directed episode 12 of season one, which is probably why it didn't seem like there was a new director at all, he took over, and this was his first full-scale directing role. He then went on to direct the anime Wave, and Listen to Me, or Wave Listen to Me. Is that one anime?
Yeah, it's all one anime.
Jeez,
yeah.
They have so many weird titles. I thought it was two.
They're getting longer and longer,
I've also never heard of Wave Listen to Me.
I haven't either.
He's been an episode director for Mikaku City Actors, Naruto Shippuden, JoJo, Hajime no Ippo, Rising, not the original, Gintama, and so much more.
Obviously, there's like a huge list, and he's been
a seasoned director.
He's been an episode director in production, in storyboarding. Like, he's across the board, but he's worked on a lot of stuff and a lot of low-key anime.
Well, kudos to you, my friend. You did a great job.
Great job. But that is the only thing that changed about season two. Everything else stayed the same in terms of what we...
So we're done with credentials.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Sweet.
Cool.
So are we ready to get into some fucking music?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Time for the tunes. Give them the background. OP1, Emily, let's go.
OP1, Spark Again by Aimer. We know Aimer.
We know Aimer all too well.
This was episodes 1 through 12, and this is the 19th single from Aimer. It was released in September of 2020, and it was released on her 6th studio album titled Walpurgis. This one peaked at number 3 on the Oricon, and I agree because it is by far the only... That's not true. It's the best... the best OP slash ending... That is in season two. They gave all the good ones to season one and like kind of threw it to the wolves in season two.
Yeah, I miss Mayday. I also, we're not there yet. I'll wait till we get to the ending. I'm not a huge fan. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Aimer did a great job.
Aimer, we've done her. We know her from Fate Stay Night if you have listened to those episodes. And
oh, yeah.
If you want to learn more about her, please go check out that episode.
Yes, that beautiful husky voice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, she's got this like... really kind of unique sort of evanescence vibe.
Oh, and in this particular intro, which me and Garrett talked about while we were watching it, I was like, I really like how the guitar takes a really high note and it like does its own voicing. And then Aimer's voice just sits really low. Not really low, but like a lot lower than the tone of the guitar. And
she's still got like that tenor register, but it's very...
And I really like the contrast between the instrumentation and the vocals.
Yeah.
So let's listen to it so you can hear what I mean.
Let's fucking get it.
Let's do it.
Here it is. Spark Again. And this already just screams anime opener to me.
Yeah, and it hooks you too. Because you're like, oh, okay, where's this going to go? But that guitar stays real high.
Do you hear that bass line? So melodic. It's going way up on that high register.
I also love that in this intro they reference the guy watching porn.
Yeah, they show her for a split second. This bass line is all over the place. It's so cool.
And probably the best intro sequence in season two as well.
Well, yeah. There's only two.
Well, yes. Garrett, I'm aware.
It's the better one. Yeah, I love that song. I want more. But yeah, it's kind of a perfect anime OP, in my opinion. It's got everything that you would want out of it. I really like the more rockin'. I mean, I'm a rock dude. I'm an analog guy in the sense that I like it when people play instruments. DJs are cool too. There's some cool funky beats from some openers, but a lot of the pop stuff. What am I thinking of? Black Clover's openers, for example. A lot of their openers, kind of trash.
Mabry really loves Black Rover.
Black Rover? Well, I mean, those are the awesome ones.
She loves Black Rover.
But towards the end. I'm talking about towards the end.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, I just discovered this when she was like, Mom, I want you to play some anime songs while we were in the car yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was like, and so I just put on a random anime playlist because I'm driving. I can't look. And Black Rover came on and she's like, Mom, what is this song called? And so I told her. And then we got back in the car after walking a dog. And she's like, hey, can you put that song that goes like,
She sang it to you?
She sang it to me.
She sang it to you.
She sang it to me after hearing it once. And I was like, after that, yeah, of course I'm going to put it on.
She's got such a musical ear. I'm impressed by her.
She was playing flute with
just
me
innate musical talent.
Yes.
She's got a lot of potential. You know, it's kind of funny that we talk about Black Rover and Black Catcher is the other one that they do, Vickle Blanca. They so for my job, I listen to music all day long. I get to I work for a social media company, which I don't know if I'm allowed to say what they are. It should be pretty obvious because they're fucking, you know, one of the biggest ones in America.
Well, you didn't say it, so you're good.
Yeah. And so basically I listen to music all day and I get to decide whether or not you get to use it for your stories and reels.
Platform.
That should, again, be obvious, but yeah. I get to decide whether or not you get to use it for your stories and reels. Like, for example, you can't use classical music. You can't use anything in the public domain, like Happy Birthday. You can't use anime songs if they're the 90-second opener version or ender version of that song. I get to listen to that, though. So, like, on my batch of works that I get to listen to, it came by and it was the full song, the full-length song, so I got to approve it and let it go through. But I also saw, and I've had to coach the rest of my coworkers on, like, if it says TV size or if it's a minute and a half and it's a Japanese song and it says, like, from an anime or something soundtrack, if it's 90 seconds, you can't approve it. If it's the full song, you can approve it. It can be labeled as original content and go on your story or reel.
Loopholes.
Well, not a loophole. It's just their policy. So if you guys submit a song, if you're musicians out there, I might actually see it.
Whoa.
Just don't rip off anybody else's song. You can do parodies. If you mash up two songs, that's not approved. Just giving you some tips there, insider tips. If you use a sample that's not exclusive to you, can't use it. I can't submit it. Now you know. That's my job.
Facts of the day, guys.
184 songs a day. It's a lot of shit.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should talk about some lyrics.
We should talk about some lyrics.
Those aren't included in your workflow.
They are not included in my workflow.
Sometimes we can't understand those lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, it's not included. But I did, you know what the fun thing about my job is? Like, I have been making a super stacked playlist of just random songs that come across that I either haven't heard before or just I'm rediscovering them. It gets to go on my Research Gems playlist.
Have you added any new ones to my playlist?
I add new ones every day.
Hell yeah. I need to get back on that one.
I had new ones every day. And it's all over the place, guys. Jazz, anime, pop, love songs, acoustic music.
Garrett's a big sap if you didn't
Willow,
know.
Willow. You know, it's all over the place. There's a lot of shit on there.
All right. So, Aimer, Spark Again lyrics.
Bring it on.
All right. Let's see. I love this chorus. Let it spark, pull the trigger until black and white both return to ash. If there's a crown to be claimed, I want it for myself. I'll fly through the air to where you are until all of my luck has run out. If I keep moping like a clown, all of creation will be beyond reach. I'll show you a love that can burn even ash. I just spark again. Holy shitball, she wrote that for this.
I feel like most of the time they do.
I feel like that too. Sometimes I don't feel like that, and we've expressed that before. But I love when it is written because I like to see their interpretations, essentially.
Okay.
I like to see what each artist takes away from the anime. And I want to also know.
I wonder if they read the manga.
Well, I know that a lot, some of them do. Some of the artists that we have talked about read the manga or get to pre-screen and kind of get an idea and or even look at the script for the voice actors.
How do you, that would be a really good, we got to reach out to somebody to ask them these questions because I want to know, are you an anime fan and you watched like some of the scenes before it was released just to get an idea of what's happening in the story? Did you read the manga? You already knew what it was. You're already a big fan. Did you just watch the opening sequence, you know, did they make the opening sequence after you recorded the song? I don't know.
Well, because I know that I know that one of the, and I don't know how I remember this with all of the research that I did last year, but I do know that one of the chicks from one of the artists from Fate series that we did last year, I know that she read the manga in full before she wrote the song. Like, read
that's
it
right.
in full.
I remember
she
we
read,
talked about
she
that.
Read the whole thing. But it's crazy to me because it's like, you know, and do they give them a theme to work off of? They're like, hey, we want you to write an intro on this theme. Read up. Here's the resources. Take it and run. Or do they just come up with their own theme by themselves? And this is what she pulled from Fire Force.
We're going
like,
to have to go to more conventions press.
But I mean, hardly any of the artists that do these are there.
Yeah, we're
going
to
have
to go to actors. We're going to have to go to Japan.
We're going to have to go to Japan. It's settled. It's settled. We're going to go. But yeah, I mean, this fits so well. I mean, even the next line, I go recklessly through the darkness searching for a glimpse of you, but I can't reach you. I can't reach you, but I'm still certain. Even with nothing, I rushed out before I had a chance to feel lost. Even I can just be like I was back then. And if this is not about Shinra and Sho, then I don't know what else it could be about.
It's probably about them. That's kind of what this whole...
the whole story is about.
That's what the whole story is.
I mean, aside from, like, you know, finding the evangelist, but the evangelist took Sho and his mom. So that's kind of, like, the whole point.
We're definitely going to have to give a spoiler warning. We should probably just record a spoiler warning that goes right after our intro tag.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like... if you've been listening to us for the year and you're here and you haven't seen Fire Force, I feel like you probably already know that you should probably pick through the episodes because we are really bad with spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even realize it until after it's done.
I mean, it's not like we're picking brand new anime. I mean, it's relatively new. There's just so many. Yeah,
I mean, we can fucking talk about Spy Family if you want to because...
oh, man.
So good.
It is really good. I really enjoy
your
that.
Your is my favorite.
What is the trend with that? Like, I feel like that's because maybe it's kind of always been a thing.
What?
But I feel like there's been kind of an influx of what I call kawaii kickass.
Oh.
Because it's like, and when I say kickass, I mean like brutal fucking gory murder shit,
like Nezuko type of shit.
Like yeah, like Nezuko type of shit. More like Boji.
Oh yeah.
From Ranking of Kings.
Yeah.
And Spy Family. Like that's super cute and fucking really badass when it gets into the badassery. Is that's I feel like that's becoming just more and more of a thing where you make some really innocent, cute little motherfucker just a really bad motherfucker too when they want to be. Or on accident. In Boji's case.
All right. Well, do you think the lyrics fit?
I mean, the lyrics definitely fit.
Do you think that the song fits
the
anime?
The song definitely fits the anime. I already said that, so let's cha-ching this bitch.
Cha-ching, finalized, moving on.
Moving on. To ending number two?
To ending number
one. I mean
one.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The second song of the four songs that we're doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Cool. Yes. Ending number one, ID by Cider Girl. That's I love the band names. There's so many.
My favorite one right now is Band Made.
Band Made. Yeah. And it's weird saying that in like reading it in America because the Japanese language is like kind of, it's like reversed.
Backwards.
Yeah, it's backwards. So hearing it, it's like made band, but it's band made here in America. It's I love the band names, especially how you can swap them and they sound even cooler. Or not as cool in America. Bandmate made band is pretty obvious. Never mind. Let's move on to Cider Girl. This appeared obviously on episodes 1 through 12. It was released in September of 2020 as their fifth single and not on a studio album. It peaked at number 40 on the Oricon. That's too high in my opinion. Cider Girl. It wasn't the easiest to get info on this band, and what we do know is that they formed in 2014 with three members. Kind of like a little Rage Against the Machine action, mm-hmm. except not as cool.
No.
All members came from online streaming sites and are popular in their own rights, but came together to achieve the same goal, finding their carbonic acid sound. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. And this is this particular phrase.
Is that a genre?
So this particular phrase came straight from their biography on their page, like Cider Girl's page. And honestly,
I'm not a chemistry guy, so I don't really know what carbonic acid is used for.
I really don't know, because even when I try to listen to the song over, I don't know what that means, but I don't also feel it. Like, the feeling isn't there. There's also a lot of auto-tune on the lead singer's
okay,
voice.
Somebody's going to have to educate me on carbonic acid. Maybe I'll look it up after this. No offense to you guys, I didn't enjoy the song enough to really look up what that means, but well, maybe I'll go explore your other songs, see if you got anything else that's cool, find something good. Anyway, all the members...
Obviously, you can tell we're not a fan.
We're not huge fans of this one. All the members write lyrics and compose music, which gives them a fabulous strength to build off of each other. That is pretty cool. They were featured in Fire Force first, but became most known for their OP in Comey Can't Communicate.
So we'll have
I haven't
to,
heard that one.
We'll have to watch that and
but
see.
But that's a big show.
That's a big show on Netflix right now.
I wonder
now.
If that's any more carbonic acid. All right, you ready to listen to the song?
Let's go.
Let's listen to it. Ending number one, ID, Cider Girl. At least the drums are real and they sound cool.
I honestly had to search through YouTube because I was like, wait, is this sounding right? And then I like listened to their actual song and I was like, nope, that's right.
Kind of funky.
But also, what I want to know why they decided to go this route for the ending.
You mean like...
Because both endings are very similar in this video game style 2D across the screen.
Honestly, I hate to be critical of somebody's art, but this is not that cool. It is kind of a lame... Maybe it was just lack of time, and it was just an easy fucking thing to do.
I don't know.
Because the animation in the fucking show is so cool.
Like, to put it in perspective of how much I don't really care for this song,
that's a cool
I don't
little drop.
Even head bop.
I like the little
groove behind the vocal.
That was a cool bass fill. You know what? There's some cooler shit than. You just don't feel it. Like, now that we're wearing the headphones, it's kind of isolated. We can break it down a bit more, but I still don't really like it. Funky guitar with the wah. I don't like it for the anime. Let me clarify. They're great musicians. Oh, that was a sick drum fill. I don't like the guitar solo. Nice chromatic walk down. I will give you this, though. There's quite a bit happening in this little 90-second. Oh, this is the full song.
Is it?
It feels like it. This is just really long ending. I thought...
Is it at 2 minutes right now?
Huh?
Does that say 2 minutes?
No, it's 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, this is the whole song.
This is the full song. I was going to say, there's a lot of shit I don't remember. But they kept the animation. They must have just looped it. Yeah, I see the loop. There it is.
That's funny. Oops.
Oh, well, we're going to listen to the whole song, guys.
Well, apparently the whole song, they picked the wrong parts for the ending. Yeah, the full song is much better than the intro.
There was just a lot more. There was a lot more happening. I don't know if we're allowed to really play the whole song. We talked over the whole time. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more happening, and I can hear a lot more with my headphones on. I still don't think it fits the anime. I don't like the ending sequence. But they have some pretty cool parts in there. I can find some cool things when you're focused on it. So not as bad as I thought. The 90-second version for the anime, not as good as that, obviously, as the full song.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we have to go off of the 90 seconds in the anime because that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about the anime and how it fits into the anime, which the full song, unfortunately, is not used. I don't even know if the lyrics really fit either.
Okay. Can you pick out some that might or might not?
Sure. Well, they decided to make up words. Am I going forward by scarifying life? That has a limit. I believe that nothing will be wasted. Why do the person I want to be and person I can't be scramble and become unclear? How much do I need to pretend that I'm stronger? I hate it. Makes me tired. So in a way, I can see it fitting because, you know, especially in Shinra's fight with a homeboy who is big and strong and wears the blindfold over his eyes. I can't remember his name right now.
I can't remember that guy's name either.
But, I mean, he's constantly questioning himself. He's like, man, my kicks just aren't hitting him. My force, my fire, my flames aren't hitting him. So I can kind of see.
I feel like that's a bit of a stretch.
But we're stretching, and I don't, and then it just makes the whole thing not fit. The animation is not even cookie cutter. It's just lame.
This doesn't even get a goat noise. It doesn't get the okay noise. It gets just straight up.
It gets a straight no.
It gets a no from me. It does not fit. Not a good choice for this one.
There's a million ways I could say no.
But I like the song better than when I originally thought I was going to say going into it. So good job.
There we are.
Good job, Cider Girl.
Good job. Okay.
Let's move on to the OST.
All right, so this OST was released February of 2021 on the DMM music label, same as season one's, has 24 tracks and runs for about an hour and 12 minutes. It's same awesome shit, but different. I mean, that's legitimately what this is. This whole episode is.
They literally start. They literally start the OST with
the main theme,
but the second version of it. So it's already a rendition of the original motif. And then they end the OST with another rendition of another motif for Fire Force Company number 8, which was actually pretty fucking badass. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. All right, Garrett. So do you want to talk about overall notes first or what we start?
Let's do overall notes.
Okay, go ahead.
What were yours?
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you have more than I do. So I made a blanket statement. I was like, the horns are kind of essential in this OST, necessary, not only because the OST shows Shinra playing a horn, but also because that is the sound of Fire Force. Like, when I think of Fire Force, I think of the horns.
Also, fun little orchestra fact, horns represent fiery fucking... It's the fire timbre. Like, that's... If you were going to incorporate each of them to, like, an element, you know, that is the fucking fire timbre right there. Yeah. That is... Yeah. That's... And it needs it. And I love how they incorporate all the horns. That's some fucking dirty horn parts in there.
They do.
They have some beautiful fucking French horn that just vibrates your fucking soul. Yeah. It was really good. I love the horns.
Yeah. I also said that, in my opinion, I don't know how Garrett feels about it, but the electronic vibes are used well, like in a way that isn't super out of range of Fire Force. Like, it's incorporated really well. I started this note and I didn't finish it, but I said that they captivate the story. And I believe what I was going to say is that they are make the whole piece, the whole OST as a whole, kind of cohesive in terms of the anime, because they usually use the electronic parts for different scenes, like particular scenes, whereas they use like the more orchestral parts for like when characters are thinking or when they're fighting or something like that. Like, the electronic is almost used for the backstories,
I am going to have to disagree with you on how well the electronic pieces were used. They had moments of like a good decision making for the electronic timbres. But a lot of times many of these songs sounded a little plastic, pretty synthesized. Nothing really jumped out. Now this is just me being critical right now. I'm jumping right into the cons before I get into the pros, but it, especially the electronic elements when incorporated and combined with the metal or hard rock type of sounds and songs, pieces from this OST, it did not sound good to me. It sounded really cheap, and maybe even a little rushed.
Well, I did say in my opinion.
You did. So. You're not being judged. I'm just disagreeing with you. Relax. They could have... Basically, they come out the gate really strong. Like, my first... I have a full page of notes for the first three songs. Like, just three songs. And then the farther we go along here, the less I'm writing, because the less I'm impressed. And many of these songs... Now, they do a good job with the motifical phrasing and keeping a good theme. They definitely keep everything consistent as far as tones go, but it lacked versatility, in my opinion. At one point, I was like, I've heard this before. I forget which song it is. I'll find it here in a second. But I wrote all my notes. I just wrote, like, it... I could take pieces of, like, one line or one little bit from another note that I had written for different songs and just piece them together and for that song, because it's the same. It was the same. We had heard it all before. I do love the uplifting energy from this OST. It is packed with adrenaline. Again, they stayed true to the original OST. It was very... organized and kind of militaristic themes, sometimes suspenseful, sometimes uplifting, always army-esque. Lots of surprise in these pieces. I can't stop writing. Now, this is only up to number four. So many modulations, and they did, and that actually kind of got on my nerves because of those chromatic modulations and the chromatic, like, it's cool, but when you do it so much, it becomes not as special. It's like, oh fuck, that's all you do. And it was simple. They had some simple songs that were pretty effective, but I am not the biggest fan of the metal guitar tones and the drum tones. They sounded synthesized, like they used an amp or a pedal modeler, and definitely synthesized drums. Those are programmed for sure.
I guess. I don't know.
You don't know? You couldn't hear a difference?
I mean, I just, like, when it came to the, like, EDM songs, like, I expect that to be programmed.
Well, yes. But this is the metal songs. Oh. So they incorporated some of, like, the synth bass lines and stuff that you'd find in EDM. But the metal songs and the heavier songs, a lot of that shit was like, these drums were not recorded live. They were not. Those are definitely synthesized. And I even wrote, interesting use of EDM songs. I'm loving the guitar solos, though. They had a phenomenal guitar solos in every song, pretty much. Also, another pro for this, the way they use vocals. The vocals in all the songs that had vocal timbres to them, vocal pieces, they were either chanty or like choral, or they were metal screaming, or they were just really distorted and saturated so you couldn't hear what they were actually saying. So it didn't step on any of the fucking dialogue or any of the sound effects from the anime. It fit in context really well. And I wrote over here, they love chromatic builds. They certainly do. It's very tense. First half of the OST isn't too versatile. Kind of the same shit with a few exceptions. They love to slap you right away and end the song with something random as shit that's always really cool. Every piece ended really, really cool and had nothing to do with anything in the rest of the piece. Like some random instrument, some random sound was thrown in there just to end it for you. And they didn't use it at all until the very end. Modulation station on this bitch, overused at this point. And I think this was like 17 when I was writing this. You can hear the film score influences in the second half. Like, I heard a Pirates of the Caribbean song. Yep. I heard a couple Lord of the Rings songs. And there was one that I couldn't tell which movie it was from, but it definitely sounded familiar. But it was cool the way they did it. It was a nice little homage to it. And then they definitely don't ease you out of pieces. That's for sure. That was another thing. Like I said, they throw in some random shit at the end. Always to just... It doesn't really resolve all the time. It just kind of ends with a random noise, which is cool.
Not all the time.
Well, I'll show you. We'll see if we pick some songs, like some of these starred songs that we're going to play for you. We'll see if we pick the ones that have just some random ending to it. But what did you star, Emily?
Well, I haven't finished my overall notes.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I thought your last note that you didn't finish was the last one that you wrote.
No, I just didn't finish that note.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's all good. I agreed with you. I said I absolutely love how he incorporates the thematic motif into a lot of the tracks. It makes it really cohesive, and even though if it's like incomplete of the complete motif, you know it's there. Like, you can tell from the progression. And a little different from what Garrett said, not necessarily for the ends, but like in between pieces, and I think it was between the evangelist on the evangelist piece where
number
I wrote
14.
This. Yeah. I said, I love how he breaks up the parts in each track, like as a sort of transition. A lot of times, like, he'll like put a rest and then he'll move on.
I like how he threw the sounds, like he did kind of leave a little break and a few rests in there, but they would, I forget which song it was, but they had this like really chill kind of gong or cymbal that was just super lightly played. It sounded like wind almost, but you could tell it was a cymbal.
Yeah.
And they would just leave it underneath in the rests for the, to incorporate or fill in the silence instead of just making it silent. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. I also have consistency. I had to start writing it on the side because I wrote so big on my incorporating motifs, but also consistency. Like, they stayed consistent at least like throughout the whole thing. And that's kind of what I mean. Like, you know, the electronic pieces were used for certain things and the orchestral vocal pieces were used for different things. But my favorite thing about this OST is the use of dynamics. Like,
and for the pieces that had them, yeah, they were phenomenal.
He did a great job with, like,
phenomenal.
And more so, of course, obviously, the orchestral parts that were more incorporated with the dynamics. But it was so nice to just, like, feel it swell up in your headphones, especially, like, with the violins. They'd go, like, from, like, really, really softly, and then they would just start to rise, and they would just get really loud, and then all of a sudden you've got all of the orchestra in your headphones, and it's like now you're in a zone, and you can't help but listen to it. So dynamics are great. They make it so much more textured, even if you're a soloist not playing with anything behind you. Using dynamics is really important.
Yeah, and I loved how the, like, number 19, Assassin Training, it's almost like the entire piece was a crescendo.
Yes.
Like, the whole piece just grew, and they would, like, do little mini dips and decrescendos and crescendo up again. Really, it was more, not even a decrescendo, it was just a drop and start at the bottom again. And they would do these little mini crescendos, but the whole piece grew and crescendoed out until the end. I loved that. That wasn't even the first time they did it. And the one thing I will say, though, as awesome as the dynamics were for the songs that did have them, the EDM and many of those metal pieces did not have dynamics. And I think part of that was because of how synthesized it was. Like, they didn't have real dynamics where you could play softly on an instrument or play loudly. They had the fake dynamics where it's a digital noise or a digital timbre or something synthesized, and they don't raise the volume or lower the volume. They just use different sounds.
They just blast you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They use different sounds to
bless you with fire.
It's fake dynamics, synthesized dynamics.
And then my last note was the last quarter of the OST is very versatile. There was a lot happening and a variety of types of music at the very end. So So those were my overall notes. What I had starred. So I had 2 and 3 full starred, and I had 1 just a star. Let's see. I starred 10, but I full starred 14. I full starred 15. I starred 21.
Like half star?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then 22 and 24 I half starred, and 23 was a full star.
You had a lot of stars. I did not have that many. I had number 2, number 10... 14, 15, and a couple of half stars, I guess. Maybe it was more than I thought. That was it. That was all my full stars. I only had 4 of them.
I'm surprised you didn't star 23.
That got a half star.
That was a beautiful.
Light of Hope was cool. They did a lot of cool things, but like compared to the other 4 that I starred, I feel like not quite there. They had some really cool themes though. Like, some of the phrases and the themes that they came up with were amazing. I did like Light of Hope, though, because it was, at that point, I'm like, okay, I want to hear something fucking different. Like, give me a new type of song. And Light of Hope was a good change. So was Requiescats? Is that what it, I feel like some of these titles are typos. Requiescats de la Diablos.
I know.
What a weird name.
I know. Yeah, so... Let's see. You said you starred 2?
I starred number 2. 2, 10, 14, 15.
Okay. Well, we have 2, 14, and 15 in common. How many songs do you want to play?
Not too many. We're already about an hour in.
Okay, so let's do... I really want to play 14.
I want to play 14, too.
And then 2. Let's do 2 and 14.
2 and 14?
Or do you want to choose one that we didn't start?
Nah.
Okay.
Let's do 2 and 14. That's a good one. Those are good ones. Cool. And I did find that one that it was number 20, Gustav Honda. Mm-hmm. My notes for that, I'm not sure what to write for this. Yeah, because you could really take various notes already written in the other 19 songs before this. It's not the same as everything else, but it's not really that different either. I'm sure it sounds great in context of the show with the music around it, but yeah, it's a bit lackluster. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was quite a few songs like that for me. I had 4 half stars and 4 full stars. 8 of the 16 I liked, and the rest of them were like meh. They're okay. Probably good for what they were, but yeah, they were okay. So yeah, 2 and 14.
Yeah, let's do it.
2 first. That one is Separated Universe. Emily, what are your notes for that one?
I said, whoa, hello, Dissonance. Love the synthy wobbles, and along with the build and sound and texture, holy shit, the way they mix this track is phenomenal. Their use of color using dynamic and tempo, not to mention the electronic elements mixed with brass, are just fucking fabulous. The sense of impending doom and the sound design within the show correlating to the track with Adola is right on the nose. I really like this. It's mechanical, but still unique and effective.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Whoa, so much dissonance. They start with the horns, but add to it with the creepy crawly strings. Awesome sub bass sound, a little punch and fall while the oscillating synth sits underneath. And then they open it up with another synth that's just got this like really suspenseful kind of wah-wah noise, but it just grows. It's not a wah-wah, it's just wah. It opens up. It's cool. Wah-wah is actually a technical term in the music industry, guys. I'm not making that up.
There is a wah pedal.
Exactly. It's a technical term. So much chaos. Love the screechy, squealy thing that modulates all over the high end. And then bring in the killer drums and guitars. Time for those soldiery horns. Prepping you for battle. Such a cool piece. Nice, consistent, arpeggiated synth bass until we get to the real melody. Then we evolve into something a bit more uplifting. Very cool, glitchy shit with the sub bass while everything else kind of falls out. Sounds like Superman fights Doctor Strange. Like that, if they made a fanimation, of Superman fighting Doctor Strange, you could totally use this piece.
Indeed.
So let's listen to it. Number 2, Separated Universe. By the way, guys, all those notes were packed into 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Can you hear how fucking crazy this is? Just in 10? It's been 10 seconds.
Synthy wobbles.
That shit, that's what I mean by the wah. Now, this is a piece that they used electronic timbres really well. Love that. So
yeah, I
cool.
Love that the drums are like in time with the string.
They keep that little arpeggiated sub bass in there. That
oh, yeah.
And the counter melodies from the horns and the string section and this entire OST where they really utilize the orchestra, very, very good job. That was so cool. Such a fucking sweet groove. And like, again, they bring back that little synth bass, and it just kind of, it just keeps you suspensed, you know, it keeps you a little tensed up.
This is like that sense of impending doom that is just like, yeah. And it like they just like build on the instrumentation as well. And that's like, it's also like now it's becoming like, it's critical. Like, this is like the part where I'm like, this definitely connects to the world of Adola.
Like that screechy thing that happens, yeah. Like when he feels it in his feet.
Yeah.
Or his ankles.
Yeah, like this whole thing kind of like emulates that.
It does sound pretty Adola-y. And they bring you back to the beginning. But I hear a lot of like Wonder Woman theme in this from Hans Zimmer. I hear a lot of Hans Zimmer in this entire OST.
Yeah.
Just little quips from him.
I love that they keep that.
That little bass.
Yeah,
I love that they hold that
out until the end.
Yeah, that's super cool. That was an awesome piece. Very impressive and surprised me and kept me, it just keeps you on your toes, you know? That was a really entertaining 3 minutes. Super entertaining 3 minutes. Yeah. Great job.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job.
All right.
I like what you got.
I like what you got. Okay.
Number 14.
Let's move on to 14. Emily, go ahead with your notes.
All right. This one is The Evangelist. So I definitely feel like this deserves a non-electronic backing. And I'm really glad that they didn't, that he chose not to use an electronic beat with this one. This is a villain and it's super mysterious one at that. Staying orchestral definitely sets the tone. The static is so elegantly placed, if that's even a thing. But there's like static that very randomly plays throughout the piece, and it's placed really well for some reason. There is so much happening here within the strings with their staccato notes and the horns and the brass just legato and forefront. I love this piece, and it's used really well in the anime as well. Those are my notes.
Those are your notes.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. Ooh, loving the start to this piece. Nice subtle piano arpeggiations, great string harmony underneath. Super dynamic. Love the move into the horn section. That they transition into that horn section so well. They do this really cool like call and answer and counter melody thing all over the place when they use it. I got to make that very clear because they don't do it every time. So doom and gloom. Love the circular motion of intensity. They just bring you up with intensity, bring it back. And just keep you in a fucking circle, just a loop of intensity. Such an intelligently crafted piece. Amazing chord progression. So driving. I want more. It kept me intrigued the entire time. Great fucking job.
Yeah. They did call and answer another time, too. I don't remember when. Oh, it was 22.
Yeah, it was 22. So,
yeah, they did a call and answer. So that was used not frequently, but used enough for me to recall. And I like that they didn't use it. He didn't use it very often because then it would be like, all right, we heard this before. But I love this piece. Let's play it. Come on. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's do go. It. Number 14.
You can do it. Like you can hear it. Not necessarily in the cello bass section, but like everything behind it is like that. There's the villain. You can hear that. That's the villain. It's evil. There's something happening. Something bad is gonna happen.
Something real dark. But they do this like little half step chord progression all the time in this entire thing. It's overused for sure, but some pieces do it really well.
But that's like another part of the thing about like, for me, the cohesiveness. Like, they use that, but it, at least in a lot of the tracks, they do it different. It's at least a different sound or a different rhythm or something different. It's not all of them, obviously, but
it's pretty much all of them. That's so cool. I love those horns. I don't know where it was recorded, but the room and the reverb added to it. Oh,
oh
yes.
It just makes it seem so large and like so far away, which also is really helpful in the fact that it's the evangelist. He is really far away from all of the companies and figuring out what the hell is going on. So
yeah, we don't even know like where the evangelist is.
Yeah. So I
still.
Mean, yeah. So it just seems like it. They followed the character really well with this piece. So mysterious, but we know that he's essentially evil. Like the staccato with the strings.
I love that.
And the
yeah.
static. Oh.
And I love the phrase that they chose.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Especially with the legato horn section over the top. Yes, that's a good one. 15 is also really good. I highly recommend 15. It's called Prepared for Immortality. That go listen to that one.
Yes.
Some of the things you can kind of, if you want to listen to some of the ones that I thought were not that great, like 12 and 13, they're okay. It has, the 12 has a really cool guitar solo, but other than that, it's dry. It lacks true dynamics. Even Dark Hero, number 13, I was just tired of getting the same EDM and half-step chord progressions at this point. Like, it's just over and over again. And when they do, like, they do half-steps all the time, but then they have fucking really solid songs with them in it. And it just, because that they do half-steps all the time, it takes away from how special it is. It takes away from how much of an impact it really has. So I think there were a lot of things that could have been done better with this. And I guess that kind of brings us into, since we're not going to play anymore, we'd like to keep it relatively reasonably timed. Emily, what's your rating for this?
So I gave this a 5.
You gave it a 5.
I gave it a 5.
That's a big one.
See, the difference between you and I is that I like the electronic. I actually sent Morgan, my friend Morgan, I sent her
I like the one that you sent her. But that song also needed some. She was right. She responded. She's like, this needs fucking bass.
It needs something low.
Needs some killer bass.
Yeah. So, I mean, I liked, there were a lot of songs that I didn't write a lot for. So I me and Garrett did the same thing. So after, for me, it was after 4, because I wrote quite a bit of notes for track 4 as well. But after that, I didn't really have much to say. It got kind of bland. It got kind of like, you know, I just didn't have much to say. There's something that was stood out, and I'm not about to waste my time writing something if I don't have much to say about it. So then I got to 14 and 15, and then it kind of like kicked off again.
Did you start 10 at all?
No.
Wow.
I did start 10. Yes.
I was gonna say
I started. And I started, especially because it was so different.
Yeah.
It was like eerie and ethereal.
That's
and it was
another
like,
one you should go listen to. Tent Mystery. And I think they meant to put Shinra.
I think it was supposed
to
be
I don't remember
Shinra.
Shinta.
Yeah. There, I even looked it up and that's not a thing. So I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Shinra. However, at the end of that song, there was like some weird chaotic shit that they did right before. And so it's called The Mystery of Shinra. And I was like, I'm more concerned about that mystery. Like, what kind of chaos was that?
It's called Mystery of the Shinta. And maybe Shinta is just a Japanese word that we just don't know. But I don't know. Either way, it's a great fucking song.
Yeah. But then I get to the last three songs and I starred, not full starred, but I starred all three of them. I didn't mind the OST. It wasn't like a boring listen at all. It wasn't boring to me. I felt that it had elements in the tracks that I really liked that really carried over from what I liked about season one's OST.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, we're ranking this out of seven, guys. So 5 out of 7, I feel like, is a little too high. I actually, at one point, I wrote in my head, I just kind of said, like, this is going to get a 3.5. But it earned more points for me. And for how awesome the 8 songs that I really liked from this piece and little extra kind of like, you know, fractions of points for keeping it consistent and fractions of points for having it fit really well with the anime, I think it definitely does fit. But I don't think it deserves a 5. I would say 4 for me.
So then can we meet at 4.5, 4.5 stars?
I feel like we gave, what else did we give a 4.5?
We didn't give it a 4.5. We met in the middle at like 5.75 or something like that.
What was the other one?
It was Jujutsu Kaisen 0.
Okay. Do you think it's on par with that? Do you think this OST is on par with that?
That was a 5, almost a 6.
I thought it was 4.75.
No, it was 5.75.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now I want to go look it up. We listen to too much fucking music.
So, I mean, I'm happy to meet in the middle at 4.5. Or we can just have different ratings.
We got to come to a consensus here. Yeah. I got to write the rating that we gave it.
Yeah, and you can say Emily gave it a 5 and Garrett gave it a 3.
I didn't want it. No, I'm giving it a 4. That was my thing. That's 4 is what I want to give it. But we found it, guys. I found it. We went back and looked. Jujutsu Kaisen. I can't believe I forgot that we just did that one. Oh, man. I have too much shit going on. We gave that one a 4.5 out of 7. Do you think that this is better than the Jujutsu Kaisen soundtrack? I'm asking you honestly.
Yeah, I think it's on par.
You think it's on par? You think it deserves a 4.5?
Yeah, because even with the Jujutsu Kaisen 0, I didn't like that they didn't hold over the themes for the curses into the movie. That bothered me.
Well, yeah, but that this is the show. This is just the show. This is not the movie.
Oh, this is Jujutsu Kaisen?
This is just season one, Jujutsu Kaisen.
And that was so long ago, I don't fucking remember.
I know, it feels like forever ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that one we gave a 4.5. And we gave the movie a 5.7.
That's, yeah, I knew that. I just
because it was just,
Jujutsu
it was better.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's quite as good as JJK season one. But I mean, I'm willing to meet in the middle at 4.5 if you really like it.
I did. I did like it. I didn't have nearly as negative amount of things to say as you did.
You didn't. But it's also because I don't think you were listening to how fucking obviously synthesized those drums were.
If that is your only complaint.
Those really bother me. And no, it's not my only complaint. I said my whole overall notes, crazy lady.
Yeah. If you want to give it a 4, give it a 4. I don't care.
I already gave it a 4.
I know.
So you gave it a 5. We're going to meet in the middle at 4.5.
Okay.
Let's call it a day. 4.5.
4.5.
Decided. Done. Fucking done. Stamp that bitch.
Stamped. 4.5. Rolling.
And now, for the rest of the year, I'm going to put a sticker on my speakers of all the ratings that we've done so I know what to compare it to. I don't have to go search it every time.
Smart.
Oh, man.
So smart. All right. Well, I think it's time to move on to
The last two songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take it away, Garrett.
Okie dokie artichokey. Opener number 2. Torch of Liberty by Connah Boone. We know Connah Boone pretty well.
We do know Connah Boone.
This appeared on episodes 13 through 24. It is the 16th single by Connah Boone, released November of 2020 on the album Honey and Darling. It peaked at number 38 on the Oricon and the Billboard charts. The singer and guitarist Maguro Taniguchi said, quote, "Liberation was the theme used while writing the song. Given that flames and liberation are the main themes throughout the series, I would agree with that. And signifies lost freedoms and everyday life." Connah Boone, done. We covered them in Naruto. So go listen to our Naruto episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll get to Shippuden.
Yes. So you guys ready to listen to the song?
Let's go.
Let's listen to more music, shall we? No more ranting. Time to fucking jam. Time to fucking jam. All right. Torch of Liberty. Here we go. I really enjoy the guitar tone. That was cool.
I really like Connah Boone. Like, I like all of the songs that they have. This isn't my favorite, but it ranks second against Amer out of all of the themes we're talking about today.
Well, yeah, the openers were definitely better than the enders. This is a cool hook, though. I love this chorus. It's a lot of fun. Oh, that was sick. That was a sick drum fill. Great use of space. Yeah. Ignore that little fucking... What is this?
Funimation.
It's Funimation. They always throw a little fucking...
No, so it's Crunchyroll does, so Dubs. So does Crunchyroll.
It's Crunchyroll Dubs that did this. We're on YouTube, and every one of these... If Crunchyroll or Funimation uploads them, they have like a little extra music kind of commercial thing at the end. So sorry that I didn't stop it in time, but you heard it. Yeah, it's a good opener. I'd say that the music fits for sure. Season one had just, I mean, Mayday was so
fire.
Badass. Mayday was such a badass fucking song for this series. It fits. So
Inferno
well.
Was really good too.
You keep saying Inferno.
Inferno?
You added such an exotic accent to it. It sounds more fun.
My
when you
last
say it.
Name is Villalpando.
Yeah, only because you're not divorced yet.
Yeah, well, that's still exotic. God.
Yes, but Inferno.
My first name is Emily, but my last name.
Yes.
I make no sense.
You make no sense.
I make no sense.
You're a walking contradiction.
Sure enough.
An oxymoron.
Basic first name, weird, exotic last name.
What are the lyrics to this, Emily?
All right. Come back, fine weather. A song of rescue. The voice went overboard. Give yourself love. Even if you get off track, aim for the future. Get back and recreate. Go towards a place without suffering. The sun hidden behind the clouds. Wind, take away the darkness. Okay.
And they titled it Torch of Liberty?
Yeah. There's nothing about liberty in here.
The chorus opens up, feels pretty free, and the drum fill that they had in that little break there was fucking super cool. I don't think it matches the title, and I don't really hear, like, I can kind of see what they're going for. Their song in Naruto was better.
Yeah. There is a line in the chorus that's... related in a way. So big fire, even hellfire, jump into them. Hello.
Hello.
In the dark road, even if you are taken by the shadow of sorrow. Say hello if you stand up, start walking, shine forever. The time to be free is here. There is kind of where liberty takes in. But, yeah, I mean, the lyrics are very far.
They're okay.
Far, okay. And they're kind of ambiguous. But it's not horrible. The song is great. The lyrics maybe not matching so well.
I would still say, even though it's not like quite there for me, I still think it fits.
I think it fits.
Okay. Yeah. It'll get a check.
Ultimately, it fits. Sometimes lyrics don't have to because we don't understand the lyrics.
Can't understand the whole time. We're still, it's called anime noise, guys. We're talking about noise here.
We go over the lyrics because we want to.
Yes. Yeah, that's just a bonus. But the noise fits.
The noise fits. All right. Ending number two, Desire by Pelican Fan Club. We have not done them yet, but we should all be familiar with it.
From what?
You'll find out.
Oh, tell me. I can't wait.
Can't wait. Oh, I'm going to keep you on your toes.
Fuck.
Episodes 13 through 24 is where we hear this song. This was the second single that they've released. November 2020 on album Kai Ho. No. Fuck. Kai Ho no Hinto?
I'm not cutting that out.
Oh, bitches. This one.
That fuck was too. I'm leaving that in there.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
It peaked at number 77 on the Oricon, and this track was actually arranged and produced by Meguro Taniguchi, who is the lead singer of Kanabun, which I thought was fairly interesting. Mini fun fact, if you will.
That is.
Pelican Fan Club. They were formed in 2012, but they really debuted on a larger scale in 2018. The three-piece band built around a Western-Japanese hybrid sensibility. So when you think of that, I want you to think of scenes like dream pop, post-punk, and, of course, like Japanese rock. The vocalist, Henri Endo, is super poetic, especially regarding how he combines story plots with lyricism. And this is... this is what he said. So actually, before I read this, Pelican Fan Club has also been heard in Boruto and Dr. Stone.
That's how we know him.
That's how we know him.
There it is.
There it is. So he says when making Dr. Stone, making things is common to both of I and Senku, the main character in Dr. Stone. By reading manga and making poetry, I was able to write lyrics like a compound with mixed type elements. Like another color can be made by mixing colors. Like a word has a meaning by mixing words. It will become a song only for you by mixing this anime and the thoughts of its viewers. So
that's very cool.
Kind of an insight into how this particular band writes their music. So kind of the same questions that we had for Aimer and how she comes up with how they come up with the theme songs. Now we know that Kanabun took a theme that they found, and Pelican Fan Club just goes all fucking chemistry on you.
They do, yeah. That's Do you think Taniguchi was like, our song is going to be better, so I'm going to make sure I arrange yours in a way that it gets 77 and not 37?
This song wasn't bad. This song wasn't bad. The animation also, again, not okay.
The weird video game thing?
Yeah, not okay. But I don't mind the song. It comes third. Third on my...
Out of these four. Yeah, the endings are just not that great this time around. All right, well, let's take a listen to it, shall we? Oh, yeah, the CGI bobblehead.
Yep.
Mega Cool groove. I like the syncopation of it.
Yeah, it definitely has a groove, which is what makes me really like it. And I liked all the songs that
this
they
sounds
did
like
Boruto
an opener,
and Dr.
honestly.
Stone.
This sounds like an opener. Not for this anime, but it sounds like an opener. More than a closer. This doesn't give me that release that I want for leaving an anime. It gives me the... I feel like I'm being prepped for the anime.
I feel like there's so many conflicts into what we think should be an ender and
of course.
Whatnot.
It's our own
there's
opinions.
So many conflicts on that.
Really cool bass groove on the walk down. He like builds it all the way up, builds mm-hmm. that line up, and then walks it back down. That was really cool. Yeah, it's a fun song. That's not too bad.
Well, the lyrics are great.
I need to criticize the uploader, William, with a one and ones for eyes and an eight for the A. William, this is kind of trash quality, homie.
Oh, there was not much to pick from.
No, that's fine. It's not your fault. It's William's fault. He uploaded this garbage.
God damn it, William.
Yeah. So apologies in advance to you audiophiles that can hear the bit rate like I can. It's not, it's pretty.
You're like a dime a dozen, Garrett.
If you're wearing headphones, you can hear like the digital screechy kind of static. It's missing some important frequencies that the compression just
took
out of it.
That's very true.
Yeah. So still, like, I was having a hard time picking out some of the guitars, like separating them in my head. But I still liked it. I still liked the song. I got what I needed to out of it.
And that is what matters.
That is what matters. What's the lyrics?
Quiet life, sirens every day, screaming, feelings are flowing silently. Again today, as usual, I can't get to the emergency stairs. Desire, giving up, they are looping in a figure eight. Exit lights are leading where your heart wants. The desires you are holding, troubles you want to erase. There's no common sense where there's no error. I love that. The last one is probably my favorite, though. The desire I was holding, the trouble I want to erase. Smoke rose where there is no fire. I want to feel alive. I don't care what happens. If I am turning into ashes anyways, I want to be burned by life.
I like that last line.
That's super poetic.
If I'm turning into ashes anyways, I want to be burned by life. Yeah, I like that line. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
So lyrics and composition, arrangement. I think it fits. Animation doesn't fit. Animation, I already knew that didn't fit.
I don't think this sounds like an ender. I don't think it's in
yeah,
a,
and
I
that's
don't think it's an appropriate
that's
ender.
That's why I question it because I like the song.
I do like the song.
I'm just not sure if it's placed well.
I don't think, yeah.
Can I get a goat nose?
It can get a goat noise.
Nose?
And get a goat nose. Yes.
When you see a goat sticker on our story, you'll know why.
Yeah. It's getting the goat noise because it is just okay. So, Fire Force Season 3, you guys, if you're listening to this, you're not. If you're listening to this,
you're not.
Step your shit up, okay? We got the music, the sound effects is too fucking amazing. To not have
badass
appropriate
music.
Corresponding music.
Indeed. And speaking of season 3, definitely in production. We now know.
Yes, we know.
We know.
We know, we know, we know.
But I also have an ultra fucking fun
fact. You know what else we know? It's this ultra fucking fun fact. Please tell him. Because I wanted to tell him earlier and I couldn't.
I know. So, in all caps, it has officially been confirmed that the Soul Eater universe and Fire Force universe are one in the same. We knew it. We called it. We believed the theories. Life is complete. You may go in peace.
Latom. Yeah. I think that's fucking super cool. Look at this, like, in the you know, at the end of YouTube videos when it gives you fucking an extra 12 videos that you can choose from.
It says it's confirmed.
It's confirmed right there. Right there.
The universe is speaking, everybody.
That's right.
This is a major ultra fucking fun fact. I was super excited whenever this news came out. What was it, like at the end of last year?
Yeah. And we had heard the theories and we thought the same thing. You know?
The skull things, it's the fucking same.
That was too good of an Easter egg.
That's the Soul Reaper, homies.
Yes.
So
Soul Reaper.
From Soul Eater.
They're not Soul Reapers.
The dude,
Soul Evans?
No. Her dad? The Reaper, like the Grim Reaper essentially. Yeah, her dad.
Yeah, the Shinigami?
Yeah. It's essentially like a Soul Reaper.
You're thinking of Bleach because we just watched Bleach.
Well, no,
those are Soul Reapers.
Yes, I am saying that because of Bleach, but because I don't have a better word, because my head is words are hard.
He's the Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper, thank you.
I was like, Soul Reaper. Emily, you want to think about what you just said there? I know we just watched an episode of Bleach, but...
I know. So that is very exciting. Now, I have good news. And then I have something that I would like to tell you guys.
That sounds like it's bad news.
No, it's not. It's not bad news.
It's just news. I have good news and I have news.
I have news. So I'm going to start with the news.
Start with the news.
All right. So, you know, if you caught our story when we recorded this episode, it said at some point this weekend. Now, we're putting this episode out a lot later than we normally would do.
Yeah, we're recording on Friday.
We're recording on a Friday night.
It's also Friday the 13th.
Yes. So, hello, Mercury retrograde.
I got Friday the 13th just all week, maybe. Maybe I felt Friday the 13th before, because today's hasn't really been, you know, there's nothing to be superstitious about today. Nothing happened. But continue, Emily. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I just want to thank every one of you listeners who is bearing with us through the beginning of this season. You know, when we first started season one, it was the middle of the pandemic. We had a bunch of time on our hands. This was all of our focus. And now life has gone back to being life. And we're juggling our jobs and we're juggling our kids and we're juggling this and everything else that life happens to throw at us. So
career goals, not even just our jobs. Like, those are just jobs. Fucking trying to have a successful band. We finally finished all of our music and we're ready to, we pushed the snowball down the hill, so to speak. So it's like just rolling with the punches.
Right.
That's all we're doing.
So I just want to sincerely thank and appreciate all of you for bearing with us.
Definitely.
And not being like sending us hate messages like, what the fuck, man? Like, you said you were going to release episodes on Thursdays and now it's Sunday. So we are going to take some time out this weekend after editing and publishing this episode and actually go through our schedule. I have five anime that I need to fill in for five of the weeks, but we might end up shifting how we structure our podcasts. We might not release as many episodes. We don't want to half-ass anything, but I personally like to release on the week, like on a weekly basis, because I love doing this, but you know, not everything revolves around me.
It's rolling with the punches. That's what we're doing. We want to keep it being, you know, as fun as possible, because it is so much fun to do. But when we got to force something, like this week where if we had done this, where we were going to release it and publish it on Thursday, it would have been a really shitty week. It would have been a rushed episode. It would have been, there's just, yeah, it wouldn't have been as good or as concise. I mean, even this is pretty long. We're rambling here at the end. But yeah, I mean, It would have been a much worse episode is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and to kind of transition into my good news, another reason that it wouldn't have worked out very well is because I didn't even get to finish the notes for these until last night. And the reason is because I have had how many interviews this week? Seven?
Seven.
With some cancellations in between. But the good news is that I have officially accepted a job offer. And I'd start June 6th. So I finally have a job. So that's good. I'll still be walking dogs for the remainder of the month and busting my ass doing that shit. But yeah, that's my good news. I just knocked off my tuner.
You love knocking shit off your desk.
I do, I do.
At the end of episodes, too, just like making noise.
And I'm really excited to put out some new violin videos for you guys because one of my Mother's Day gifts this past weekend was this pedal program that a local music shop does here in town with the Pedal of the Month Club. And Garrett bought me a monthly subscription so I can try out pedals so my violin doesn't sound so bleh.
Yeah.
And and the pedals that we got are fucking cool. Like, my violin makes some cool fucking sounds. So I can't wait to make some videos of whatever the fuck I want to do because I can.
Yeah, if you're in Austin, Texas, and you play guitar or whatever instrument, you guys should go check out Rock and Roll Rentals. I don't really want to advocate endorse for the company because most of the people that work there are really nice. Actually, the lady that even gave me the pedals, she was really cool. I think her name is Sierra. Anyway, she was really cool. She was super nice, but their policies and the way they're doing things right now,
very strange.
It is just not very customer friendly.
Yeah, so if there are any investors out there who want to invest in a very good idea for music, invest in us because we're going to monopolize this pedal business.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would love to. The program that they have for the Pedal of the Month Club is a super cool idea. They have a shitload of guitar pedals, bass pedals, whatever. And $23 a month gets you 3 pedals, and you can come in and swap them out at any time, like anytime you want. Now, the problem is, here's where it becomes not so customer friendly. It's a great idea, but you can't go test out any of the pedals because their entire showroom is their website. And they did that during the pandemic, but Texas has completely opened up, and we're definitely not in. We're far from peak COVID cases. We're actually really low as far as COVID cases go. They're being extra careful, and I don't want to hate on them for that, but it is really hard to do when you're not allowing anybody into your store, and you're only open between 11.
Oh, is it 11? Yeah.
11 to 6. Maybe it is 10 during the week.
I think it's 10 during the week.
It's 11 to 6 on Saturday, or 10 to 5:30. They're not open on Sundays. So
if you work and you can't take time off to get there.
I got lucky to get there as fast as I did after work. And the other problem is I can't send anybody else to go pick up the pedals for me or swap them out. I have to do it myself because it's under my name.
They're my pedals and I can't go swap them out whenever I want.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. We're complaining now though. I don't want to over complain. They just, Rock and Roll Rentals, you could probably, step your shit up. I won't complain
anymore. Still complaining.
I won't complain anymore. I won't complain anymore.
But yeah, so I'm excited to put out some new videos with my new pedals that
yes.
I have.
I can't wait to get you the other pedal when it comes back in stock.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, that pedal was cool.
So, I appreciate all of you. I hope that you guys can understand where we're coming from in terms of like our episode releases and that you're not too mad at us. And we appreciate you guys for being loyal listeners. We can see it. I posted a graph the other day, like we're getting new listeners. We're maintaining the same listeners. And I fucking love it. It makes me so happy to see, because we put a lot of time and we love doing this. And so it's really nice to feel the reciprocation.
Yeah.
So, So Garrett, you want to like tell them about the things?
How they can support us?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys, all you loyal listeners or any new listeners, you'd like to support the show, we take donations. We'll throw our Cash App up there. I got to switch that out. We had Buy Me a Coffee, which is a good idea at the time. We're just going to throw our Cash App up. If you'd like to give us donations for just like tip us, because you enjoy listening to us, and then we can get new equipment for the studio and make just an all around better show. Stream. That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah. We want to stream.
So
for
then,
sure.
So then when I tuck my shirt up, Britney Spears. Your style,
you know it, yeah. We don't have to just describe everything to you. Also, we have an Etsy shop, so if you don't feel like just handing money to us for our entertainment, you can go support the show by buying a t-shirt, a sticker. We have all kinds of stickers that we commissioned. We got some artists that we found from all around the world, some up-and-coming artists to make some pieces for us, and they gave us the license to merchandise those pieces. So we have stickers, buttons, buttons/pins, and what am I missing? Prints. Jeez.
Those 5x7 bitches. Up,
yeah,
in there?
The 5x7 prints. So if you guys, you know, if you have a friend who loves anime, and you want to get them a cool little gift, something unique, that they wouldn't find just on Amazon, hit us up. We got an Etsy shop. The link's down in the description. Don't forget to click the link to the YouTube playlist that we made for this episode. It has all the songs, so you can follow along with us the whole time. And I highly suggest just listening to it in the car, you know? It's still a really good OST. It's still fun to listen to. So I think that's it for as far as stuff in the description. Is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I am missing one thing. Go to our Instagram page and reach out to us.
Yes.
Reach out. Hit us up. Yeah, we'd like to. I actually would like some advice here. I need your guys' advice because I was thinking the other day, my band has all this original music, and I'd like to see one of the songs, especially our most recent release, on an anime opener, and I would overlay it on one of them, but I don't know which one to fucking do. What do you know, Emily?
No idea.
No, so you guys should tell
us. I've heard that song so many times, I couldn't even begin to.
Like, you're done with our music at this point. You're done with it. We're gonna be playing it for another year or two. So yeah, enjoy. But yeah, no, I'd like to know what anime opener I could smash it over. So. Let me know. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook at Anime Noise Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I promise you, one day, very soon, we're going to be adding more videos to that YouTube channel. It will grow. Like I said, we just got to roll the fucking punches, baby. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much. And tune in next week for another episode of
Anime Noise.
Nice. Killer harmony. Yo.
Indeed.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.